A few days ago, as I opened my social media, I witnessed the most gruesome posts that I've ever seen. I watched as George Floyd's life was unjustly taken from him. As I sat there, I couldn't help but feel sick in the pit of my stomach. And as I sat and reflected on that sickness, an anger and outrage began to arise within me. This is not true to just me, but to so many others as well. People have come to a place where we just have to say enough is enough. We cannot keep seeing life after life taken because of the color of someone's skin. It has to stop now. And so we've seen across America, here in Canada, and even around the world, people have begun to protest. We've begun to call out that Black Lives Matter, that people of color can no longer be treated unjustly. This has to end. And that's why, starting now, we're taking a break from our previous sermon series to focus on a new one called Racism and the Gospel. Over the next couple of weeks, we're going to be taking a look at what Scripture has to say about race. And we're going to lean into that. And this week, my hope is by the end of this message that we recognize the true issue that lies about race within our own individual lives, and that we feel a pull towards repentance and lament. And then as we continue on through this series, we will come to a place where we reflect on all of what Scripture has to say about race and reconciliation. And we will learn from the Spirit's lead of how we are called to respond to this injustice. You know, as I think about tackling this, even in a few weeks, we're not going to even be able to put a dent in this topic, but we have to start now. But as we do that, I need to ask you for something. I have to ask you for your grace and for your patience. I recognize that as a Canadian middle-class white man, I have no idea what it means to be a person of color. In fact, I live and exist as a person who is incredibly privileged, and I recognize that. And I recognize that as we approach this topic, there is just so many opportunities for hurt, for offense out of my ignorance, out of me misspeaking. And so I would ask that you would consider, if I misspeak, if I hurt or offend you, would you let me know that? But would you also forgive me? As I've wrestled with the Lord over this last week, I have really come to a place where I have recognized that I too have been guilty of racism. I've been guilty of it in a sense that I have been implicitly involved. There's been places where I've been complicitly and ignorantly involved, and the Lord has started to break that down in my life. And that's a place where I think we all need to get to. As we continue on, I also want to thank the people of color who I have been able to lean upon over the last few days. Thankfully, we have people within our church and friends within the community who have been willing to help educate me in my ignorance. They have shared stories with me that they have given me permission to share with all of you. And I trust that as we do this, or my hope and prayer as we do this, is that we will do justice for them, and that most importantly, we would do justice to what God wants from us and what He's calling us towards. So in light of all that, thinking about the weightiness and the gravity of this topic, thinking about the potential for offense and hurt, allow me to just pray for our time right now. Lord, I come to you and I just recognize that there is just so much hurt right now. There is so much anger and upset, and so much of that is right and righteous. And Lord, we recognize that you are grieved by the state of the world and what is happening as oppression and racism and a rejection is happening to people that you have created by others who whether or not they love you, should never treat anyone like this. Holy Spirit, I ask that this today, as we go through this time of looking at your word and seeing why racism is an issue and an offense to you, Lord God, I pray that you would reveal to us by your Spirit where we need to allow this to sink into our hearts. Lord, I need you to speak in and through me, because we need to hear your truth today. So be with us in this time, I pray, Jesus, in your powerful name. Amen. I want you for a moment to just picture a young man attending high school, and he notices a girl, and he seems a little bit intrigued by her, and as time goes on, he becomes wholly infatuated with this girl, and finally he has this opportunity to catch her attention, and they start to talk and message, and slowly this relationship starts to blossom until they make it official and decide that they're going to go out on a date. And as they go out on this date, on a day that would be just like today, you know, your average normal day, this young man has no idea what's about to occur. When he comes to the end of his date, the girl turns to him and says, "I can't date you anymore." Well, this isn't just because it's a story of love and loss. This is a story of racism. The girl went to tell this boy that it was who he was that she was not allowed to date him. It wasn't because of a reputation. It was something far worse in her parents' eyes. It was his color. As a young black man, they deemed him unworthy of dating their daughter. And from that moment on, that boy realized that it wasn't his merit, but the color of his skin that he was judged upon. In this moment, he became alert to the harshness of the world. He'd always been taught that, you know, if he did well and he was compassionate and caring towards others, that he would be viewed as an equal and treated with respect as well. But there, his hopes were dashed. This is just that one example of racism that happened in this young man's life. It was conscious racism, but there was also unconscious, subconscious racism that has plagued him all his life long. Every time he's gone to an airport or tried to cross the border, he's been randomly searched. He often goes to grocery stores and finds that no matter what's going on or who he's with, he's followed by the security guard. Every time this man opens up his heart to another young lady, he always lives with this fear that rejection is only a few pigments away. Now, as I share that story, it's easy for us to picture a story that happened decades ago. We think of a movie or maybe a real life experience back in the 50s, 60s, or early 70s. And we think, well, that was the way things are. But that was not a story of something that happened decades ago. It wasn't a story of something that happened across the border. This is a story that is true of a young man that I know living here in the lower mainland in 2020. He, because of his color, all of his life long, has been subjected to prejudice and critique, all because of the color of his skin. As I listened to the stories of the people of color, friends, acquaintances, strangers over this past week, I just stopped and kind of soaked in. Here's the stories that I just cannot fathom in many cases. These are the stories that I had no idea and how often they happened and to what degree. And as I listened to stories, I heard all sorts of degrees and varieties of prejudice and oppression. I heard stories of an individual who was just mocked and continually told that her skin looked like poo. I was told of stories where someone was racially profiled, where people were bullied throughout school and in the workplace because they looked different. And I was told about stories where people had experienced violence perpetrated against them simply because of the color of their skin. As I thought about these stories, I kept thinking in my mind, but this is racism. Racism is just wrong. How can this continue to happen? And I asked one of the individuals that question. Why does this just keep on happening? And their response to me is because people of power and privilege, people just like me, have yet to stand up and do anything. They said, even those of you who aren't intentionally being racist are still complicit in systemic racism. You still haven't advocated for us. And that's just individuals, let alone the church. As we think about this topic and we think about the church, we have to understand the history the church has in North America. If you look at history, you see that in America there were famous white preachers who held black slaves captive. The story in Canada is of white Christians who came in and tore indigenous families apart and oppressed them into residential schools and committed horrendous acts. This is not something that is far from the church. It's even present today. Martin Luther King, back when he was writing a letter from prison, wrote that the most segregated hour in Christian America, and I believe also in Canada, is 11 o'clock on Sunday morning, which was church time in his community. Look around, see our churches, how we're divided by our ethnicities. Most churches, even if they have a little bit of another color mixed in, are typically 90% plus monoethnic. We need to stop as we think about this and deal with the reality that exists in the spaces that we love and with the people and lives that we are connected to. Even as I've been thinking about the church, I started thinking about, well, if racism is sin, why don't we talk about it? As I thought about it, I have never actually heard a white preacher preach on racism. I've heard a lot of sermons in my life. I've heard sermons on lust and greed and anger and pride. I've heard sermons less often on gluttony, but never once have I heard a sermon from a white preacher on racism and why it is the antithesis to what God wants for his people. And so that's why part of this sermon series has come to be, because I believe that our church in this time needs to correct that, I hope, with many, many more churches this Sunday morning. So let's start where we always start in script, which is in Scripture, and ask ourselves, what does Scripture say? If racism is sin, why is it sin? And so as I went through Scripture this week, I came to find seven reasons why racism is sin and why it's offensive to God. I'd encourage you that if you have a notepad and a pen, to just quickly jot these down. We're going to fire through all seven different reasons, and then what we'll do is contemplate them over the course of this week, and then next week we're going to come back and look at what the whole of Scripture has to say about race. So the seven reasons why racism is offensive to God. Reason number one, we are all made in the image of God. Genesis 1:27 says, "So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them." Every single one of us was created distinctly in the image of God. We all have the same capacity to love God and to be loved by God. We have all been put on this earth with a divine purpose for our lives. And because of this, there is no one greater than another, because we all hold the image of God. Reason number two, we are all sinners who are corrupted by the fall. Romans 5:12 says, "Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all people because all sinned." Just as we are made in the image of God, we all experience the fall because of original sin, and we all continue to sin, which means no one of us has even spiritual authority or superiority over another because we are all on level ground. We're in the image of God, but we're fallen from God. Reason number three, we are all, if believers in Jesus, one in Christ. Galatians 3, verse 26 to 28 says, "So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." We can place any divide here. God isn't interested in divisions. He's interested in unity. When Paul wrote that, he was specifically speaking to the issues between Jews and Gentiles, which was a racial issue. It was people of different nationalities, different cultures who were clashing. And he told them, just like he would say to us now, there is no difference when we are one in Christ. Reason number four, partiality is a sin. In James chapter 2, verse 1, we read, "My brothers and sisters, believers in the glorious Lord Jesus Christ, must not show favoritism." If we are to treat anyone unfairly, whether it's because of the clothes they wear, their financial background, or because of the color of their skins, we have failed to uphold the love and justice of Jesus. We do not represent God in that moment because God has love for all and he came to die and save humanity. There's no parentheses, there's no brackets, there's no color listed there. Reason number five, God calls us to love our neighbor. In Matthew 22, verse 39, we see as part of Jesus' response when he's questioned, "Jesus, what's the greatest commandment?" Jesus says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength." And the second commandment is like this, "Love your neighbor as yourself." There's no caveat there. There's no love this neighbor, but not that neighbor. There has to be a certain measure that they have to live up to love them. No, I want you to love all your neighbors, irregardless of who they are, what their background is, or what they look like. In fact, we're told that this goes deeper in other places like Matthew chapter 6 or 1 John chapter 3. We read that if we so much as hate another, if we so much as call another person a fool, that we have actually committed murder, maybe not physically, but within our heart. Reason number six that God is offended by our racism is that Christ came to tear down walls between people. He didn't just tear down walls, but he also built people up together. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14, we read that "For he himself is our peace, he who has made the two groups one and has destroyed barriers, the dividing wall of hostility." If we fight against people, if we build up walls between one person and another, we're not just committing some flippant little sin. We're not just putting some little idol that we decided to sneak into our life because it makes us feel comfortable. What we are actually doing is actively participating in being anti-Christ. Because Christ came to reconcile, not to divide. Reason number seven, heaven is going to be a beautiful tapestry, a multi-ethnic place where there will be no room for racism. Revelation chapter 5, verse 9 says, "And they sang a new song, saying, 'You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seal because you were slain. And with your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe, every language, every people, and every nation.'" God has a plan to bring together people to glorify him for eternity, but those people aren't all one and the same. They're people of every color. They're people of every nation. They're people with every language. They're people with every different worship style. He wants them all to be there to worship and praise him. Who are we to fight against any of that. This is what God desires, that we would bring people in to his kingdom, not by our actions keep them out. I hope by now, as you're hearing that, you're going, yeah, Kyle, I'm with you. Racism is wrong. I see these reasons why this is an issue to God, and therefore it should be an issue to us. But I also know that as we say that, as we nod along, we might stop and think to ourselves, well, it's a good job that I'm not a racist. Before we get too far down that track, we need to stop and remind ourselves that there's some differences when it comes to racism. It's not just about being explicitly or overtly racist. We can also be complicit. We can be ignorant, not willfully involved in racism, but we can participate in systemic racism and the oppression of other people. But where God wants us isn't even in either of those two categories. It's in this place where we are anti-racist, where we participate in bringing people together, where we bring people towards the kingdom of heaven, where we participate in how God is moving in all nations, in all colors, in all languages, just as we have seen in Scripture. And so what we need to do, what I believe Jesus is calling us to right now in this cultural moment, is to rise up to a place where we are no longer ignorant, we're no longer willfully disobedient, but in fact that we are obedient to him and we are fighting oppression and we are on the side of those who are oppressed, which are people of color right now. But as we go about that pursuit, one of the things that I think we need to do is stop. So often we just want to jump to action. When we hear something, we might get fired up for a moment. We want to participate in what's happening on social media. We want to speak out and have a voice. And those are good things, but I don't think they go far enough unless we come to the place where we begin to educate ourselves first, where we begin to recognize how we have played a role and have wrestled that within ourselves and brought that before the Lord for repentance. I don't think we can really be an ally or an advocate unless we lament alongside of those who have been oppressed. Now, I recognize that I am not the voice to speak to this. I do not understand all the complexities of the issue. And so one of the things that you will find today as you watch this message is in the sermon notes, there's going to be links to different articles and videos. And there you are going to hear voices of people of color who can speak to these issues. They can help us become educated in understanding what it means to be a person of color, what it means to be fearful when you see certain types of people or are in certain situations. We're going to learn what they would call for from us as people who are privileged, as people who are white, as we want to be their advocates and allies. As we do that and come to that place, I pray that we will also, in tandem with learning, is be broken before the Lord with the truth, the reality of who we are and how we have participated in what we will then hopefully fight against. And how we can do that is we can just ask ourselves, we can be reflective, inviting the Holy Spirit in to help prompt us to understand the answers to several different questions. I'd encourage you throughout the week to just stop and take the time to read each of these questions to yourself and respond. The first question is, have I fully loved God, and have I fully loved my neighbor as myself? That's the big question that's going to be overarching above all these others. The second question, have I ever caused pain to people of other color by my actions or my words? Have I marginalized people even when they're not in the room? Because sometimes we seem to think that it's only a problem when we're with people, but it's not there. Even when people of color are not there, we plant seeds and we participate in issues. Ask yourselves, have I ever told a racist joke? Have I been prejudiced towards somebody else? Have I walked on the other side of the street when I see them coming? Have I ever even in jest made a comment about a person of another ethnicity? Have you used language which belittles someone from another culture? Have you gone further than that? Have you perpetuated violence towards another because of the color of their skin? Question 3. Have I done enough to inform myself about the sin of racism, its roots, and its historical and contemporary manifestations? Ask yourself, have I opened up my heart to see how unequal access to resources and opportunity has denied and continues to deny the equal dignity of others? You know, like all these sins that we read about in Scripture, and as we wrestle with them as believers, we are called to not just hear about these things, but we're called to bring them into our heart, to allow ourselves to be educated about our response to. We're called to equip ourselves to fight against sin. We're called to stand alongside of our brothers and sisters and push against this sin and call this sin out against them. But how can we possibly do that if we're uneducated about it and we don't know what's going on? Ask yourself that question. Am I educated about these issues? Question number 4. Is there a root of racism in me that blurs my vision of my neighbors? We have to recognize that many of us have grown up in times, in places, in societies and cultures where we have had seeds of racism planted in us. Have you allowed those seeds to grow roots and to blossom into something that obstructs your vision of your neighbor, that taints your view of seeing who they truly are to God and who they should be to you? Question number 5, have I ever witnessed racism on a personal, institutional, systemic, or social level and did or said nothing, thereby allowing someone or some group of people to become the victims? Have you ever heard a racist joke and never called someone out for it? Have you ever watched as someone was prejudiced to somebody? They just started walking all over them, so you decided, I'm just going to walk on by. Have you ever had the opportunity to participate in the change that is needed to free people from oppression and not done anything about it? Question number 6, and this brings it closer to home. Do I have a genuine relationship, a real friendship with people of color? I'm not saying do you have a token friend who's a person of color, but do you have real, genuine relationships with multiple people from different ethnicities and backgrounds? If you don't, ask yourself the question, why is that? I had to even ask myself this week that not just for myself, but for our church, why are we a 90% white congregation? These things point to a deeper root that there is something going on in our hearts and our lives that needs to be corrected. And we can even drive that further down, not just do I have relationships with these people or not, but do I isolate myself? Do I insulate myself from people of color? When you open up your social media feed and start to scroll through, do you look down and only see people who look like you? When's the last time you read a book by an author of color? When's the last time, besides when you watched Black Panther, that you watched a movie with a lead role that was a person of color and you celebrated them and were excited about the film? If you're like me, as you went about looking through this list of questions, you probably quickly realize that even if you have not been willfully racist, you have racial issues within your heart. You have places where you need to be confronted by the Holy Spirit, where He needs to tear down what is going on inside you, where you need to allow Him to change you so that things can change. If you have been outraged whatsoever by what is going on in our world, you have to change first. I have to change first. We have to change first to make a difference for those who do not have the privilege, who do not have the power that we carry, those who have been hurt, those who have been slain unjustly. They need our voice, and God calls us to be a part of that. If you are like me today, you need to get on your knees and repent. You need to lament not just what's going on in the world, but what's going on in your heart. Your heart should be broken for the people who go, who not only have lost their lives, but who go through day-to-day life wondering, am I going to be next? Where is our brokenness? Where is our repentance? As we look to go to God in repentance, as we lament what is going on in the world around us, we need to be reminded that God is good, though. I know I needed to hear that this week. I needed to hear that God has a plan for people who have been unjustly persecuted. I needed to hear that God had a plan that He can redeem what's going on in my own life. And so I'm going to share what He revealed to me in His word to you. And I hope this is an encouragement. As we process our answers to these questions, let's be reminded of the promise found in 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. Where it says that if we claim to be without sin, we will deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, He will be faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. This is something that God has done all along and will continue to do throughout history. This is God's ways. We see in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, that God called His people, the nation of Israel, and now by extension us, to seek Him in prayer so that He can bring healing and reconciliation. God says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn away from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land. The thing that we have to do, our first action as we respond to racism, has to be to pray. Now, I know people will immediately jump up and say, thoughts and prayers, that's just a nice thing to say, but it's meaningless. And I would agree with them that thoughts are meaningless, but prayers are not. The Lord has promised that if we drop to our knees and pray, if we come before Him and ask Him to heal not only the sin in our lives, but the people who have been hurt by us and others, He promises to heal our land, which includes Canada and America and all of the world. He promises to do that because He is a God of love. And so the action we need to take today is to turn to Him in prayer. So I'd invite you, wherever you are right now, go to a place where you can be on your knees and pray with me. Father, we come before You. Lord, we recognize that we are sinners. Lord, but we thank You that we are sinners by Your love and Your grace. God, we thank You for the blood that You have shed for us and for everyone. Lord God, we ask that You would forgive us our sins. Lord, I ask you on my own part, would you forgive those places where I have ignorantly gone against what you desire for your people? God, I ask for forgiveness for those places where I have just not responded as I should, where I have not gone against those who have perpetrated injustice or oppression, those people who have told racist jokes where I have not spoken against. Lord, I ask you to forgive us. Lord, I pray on behalf of our church, Lord God, we recognize that we have so far to go in terms of the racial reconciliation that needs to happen. Lord God, would you forgive us? But Father, even more than the forgiveness we need, Lord God, we ask for your healing for all those who have been hurt and oppressed because of our actions. Lord God, we pray for those who are weeping and mourning in streets, Lord, for those who are protesting against the injustice that's happening, Lord, for those who are too scared to go outside their homes to participate in the protest. Lord God, would you bring them healing? Would you bring them the comfort that only you can provide? Lord God, be with us. Be with all of us as humanity. Help us learn to love one another, to see each other in the way that you see us. God, help us to not see each other in a way that has walls being built up, but Lord, would we see each other and celebrate the fact that you are a God who put your image into every one of us, and that through the different colors, through the different cultures, through the different languages, through the different forms of living our lives, Lord, would we be able to celebrate that we can see more of you? Lord God, would we as a church come to a place, will we come to a place where our church is, where our families, where our friendships would reflect, would they reflect what you are building in heaven? Lord, I long to see what it looks like in heaven. I long to see what your picture of heaven is going to be. But Lord God, would you help us to be participants in seeing that not just be a future reality, but a present situation that we can experience wherever we are as your followers. Lord God, we know we have so far to go. But God, we know that you are on our side. Lord God, I pray that you would bring about what it says in Amos 5:24, that your justice would roll out, that it would be like a mighty river, that your righteousness would pour out on all mankind. God, we thank you that you can make that happen. We invite you to make it happen within every one of us, within our city, within our nation, within our world. And we look forward to seeing how you make your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. We pray this in your mighty name, Jesus. Amen.